Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one is a great one. It's with Len Gunter. He is the head butcher at Heritage Barbecue and Beer Co. in San Juan Capistrano, with a location too in Oceanside. But he's at the San Juan Capistrano location. He is prepping all the proteins and the sausage program that they have going on. He has a different sausage every single day there. And it's not just like some basic sausage. These are incredibly creative sausages. So I'll put a link to his Instagram below, and then also Heritage, their Instagram, because they share what he does. And they also put out a digital menu weekly in their stories. But I just wanted to talk to him because I'm a huge fan of creative sausage makers and butchers in particular. And his journey is quite unique. It took him to CIA, Culinary Institute of America in Napa, to Electric City Butcher in Santa Ana, which is a whole animal butcher, an incredible butcher shop. So he got great training there. And he's been at Heritage in San Juan Capistrano since day one. And to top it off, he's just a great guy. It's so interesting, so intelligent, so knowledgeable about food as well as butchery and sausage making. This one is a delight. I know that you guys are really going to enjoy this. I just want to jump right into it so you guys get a chance to learn more about him and learn more about Heritage Barbecue and Beer Company and everything they have going on. But at the end, stay safe and visit your local barbecue joint. Good morning, Lennon. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. I'm very rested after a long week.
Yeah. So is this your weekend then?
For you? This is my weekend. I have the white whale of the restaurant industry. I have the weekend off.
So is it because you're spending so much time?
It's because I'm there Monday through Friday, usually from about 6 in the morning until about 4:30 at the latest normally. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting schedule. We'll get to that, but I just wanted to, first off, and we had kind of touched on it, I wanted to ask about, because before I forget, Bill Murray.
Can you talk about Bill
Murray? And then we'll jump into your
path. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, it was, I don't really know what to say. I mean, Bill Murray is Bill Murray. You know, we've all seen him. We've all seen him on our TV at least once.
Did he have facial hair for a role or something?
I think he's, and this is just me theorizing, but I know he just got done with Ant-Man and the Quantumverse.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's like enjoying his little lull in between projects or something where he's letting his facial hair grow back.
Okay.
Because from the previews that I've seen, but I've stopped myself from watching all the new stuff. He is clean shaven. He's got like some big royal like robes and stuff like that that Marvel puts him in.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure as to what his full role is in that movie. Yeah, but
he's a funky guy. So this was for a pro-am, and did he just come by? Did you guys give him the beef rib, or is that something he was being?
Well, no. So apparently it was for like a Chive NFT release or something like that, which I didn't find out until, you know, a day later when I was looking up the event. He came by for this golf putt-off celebrity meet or whatever it was. And he showed up a little later, and he caught Danny as he was coming in. And he had mentioned to Danny, like, oh, you guys have food. Awesome. I'm super hungry. Like, I have not eaten all day. And so as he was making his rounds, we had just finished setting everything up and we're just about to start service when he came up to us, and we're like, all right, Bill Murray, got you a beef rib. Like, Danny was telling us, he's like, yeah, Bill Murray is a big barbecue fan and he's hungry. And we're like, all right, perfect. Got him a beef rib, handed it to him, and he did his little happy dance.
Yeah. So it's just cool. It's nice to see at first because like the facial hair, the hat, he looked a little different. I'm like looking at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Bill Murray.
He's much taller than I actually expected as well. Like, he's not like as tall as I am. I'm a relatively tall guy, but you know, he was a lot taller than I was expecting.
Wow. No, it's there's not many celebrities that I would kind of get like a fanboy over, but I think Bill Murray is just somebody that, you know, we all grew up with, and I'm older than you, and he's the guy. Bill Murray's always been himself too. He's never
never come off as like the pretentious celebrity at all. It's very much like he realizes how lucky he is to be in the position he's in, and is very much like a man of the people still, it seems like.
Definitely. Well, cool. Well, that's
thank you. Little Bill Murray.
Thank you for that. That's just an aside. Did you grow up in Southern California?
I did. I grew up in Studio City, Sherman Oaks area,
Oh, okay.
and
I'm in Woodland
then,
Hills, so I'm close to you. Okay.
and then I moved down to Orange County in 8th grade, and I've been living down here since.
Were
And
you working at restaurants as a kid?
I started working at restaurants at 17 as a prep cook and a dishwasher. And then I made my way up to a PM prep cook where I did dinner service with the hotel that I was at, and I fell in love with restaurants.
That world is a different world, right?
Oh, it's a completely different world where it doesn't matter as long as the last plate you put out is nice. And that was such a cool concept to me, where, the coolest guy was the guy who was working the fire, plating, putting out these beautiful dishes at the same time as all this chaos poured down around him.
Yeah, and it's a rush. It's a different. There's
Oh,
all yeah, and
it's.
that's interesting too. Like how it's like a democratizing people. Like it's how hard you work and how
Yeah.
focused you are.
It's very polarizing. It splits you into those who can and those who
Yeah.
cannot. And it works from there.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I worked in restaurants since I was 17, went to OCC for culinary school. I went there originally just to see if I liked culinary school because I had heard of, the bigger culinary schools and everything. But before we spent the money on it, my mom told me, make sure you go to community college to make
My
sure
dad
that.
went to OCC too.
Yeah, to make sure, that you
Yeah.
like doing this and, it's not just, oh, it sounds like a fun concept, so let's throw money at it.
I have friends that have gone to culinary school and like dropped out or like it just never went into like they went into the sales or something and so they
Yeah.
spent like $40, $50 on
No,
school. Yeah.
it's disheartening,
Yeah.
but it's
A
a
little bit of
different
a racket on certain terms,
it's
but yeah.
at some places very much so.
Yeah.
So I went to OCC. And about a half a year into OCC, I got accepted to CIA. Then I moved up to Northern California and lived in Napa for 2 years.
So CIA up there, wow,
Yeah, up at
that's a
the
life.
Greystone
Yeah, I
campus.
was gonna say the Greystone, it's so gorgeous. It's really a
Oh,
neat building.
it's very beautiful. Yeah, it's an old winery from the 20s, I believe, that got refurbished into a culinary school, and it's funny, everybody who goes there just looks at it and goes, oh, so you went to school at Hogwarts. It's like, yeah, pretty much. You go
Got kind of,
inside,
yeah.
there are all these spiraling staircases, stone building and everything.
That's
Yeah.
rad. I've walked into I've just that first there's like two areas that I've been. I've just walked in before, but that's rad. So then do you stay on property? Is that
Yeah, so dorms are, there's one on property and then there's one that's off campus.
okay.
And so I was off campus at the dorms there, and I'd be either at the dorms working at school or, at a buddy's house cooking and hanging out and doing whatever
What do you
homework
think
I
of Napa?
had.
Like, what was that? How was that?
Oh, it was beautiful. I had such an amazing time up there. I went there as like a Southern California boy, so I packed with shorts and a hoodie. I was like, oh, it's California, it's fine. And then I was like, oh wait, no, it's not. It's
Seasons.
there are seasons there. It was beautiful though. I have such a wonderful time every time I have the opportunity to go back up to Napa as well. I still have friends there.
A lot of people might just think it's just wine country, but it's so much more. And then when you go there during different seasons, like there's the mustard, those mustard
Oh
flowers,
yeah,
and like
where
it's just,
everything's just yellow and
yeah.
beautiful. There's the rainy season, and even the rainy season is really nice on its own. Everything's really green and quiet, and it's just you just
Yeah.
hear the rain. It's really nice. I would not ever pass up an opportunity to go back to Napa if I had the chance.
Yeah, and I'm sure like the weekends that there's like those crowds and things, but it's still
Yeah.
it's just I every time I went when I was before I was when I was married, we would go up there as like for weekend dates or like for 5 days or 4 days, and it was just so magical. And there's so many places to explore, and the wineries are all they all do so well. So some of
Oh yeah.
the architecture is so massive and beautiful there.
Yeah, and that was another thing as well. You're a young culinary student and you get told that most of the wineries will comp your tasting for you when they find out that you're a CIA student.
Ah.
So, you get
Doesn't
eight of
suck.
us together and assign someone as designated driver, and then
Yeah.
you're winery hopping all day. It's
And some of the best restaurants in California
yeah.
are there. So that's okay. So you went there. Did you have ambitions to work at a restaurant? Like, was there an
Yeah.
ideal restaurant you wanted to work at?
Yeah, I started out in restaurants. There's a part of me that will always be in restaurants. Like, even at Heritage, on my days off when they need me in, it's to go in and work the line or something like that. Or the rare occasion where I have a sunny disposition and work front of the house. But, I love the fire of the kitchen. And I was just lucky enough to find my little caveat as a butcher. But, restaurants have always been super cool. Any place that has like a whole animal concept, so InnoTrees, Cindy Paulson's Backstreet Kitchen and stuff like that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
am Brick as well, like, were all restaurants that I got to go eat at and enjoy and have a good time at. Those were like the restaurants I was looking to work at for a while. Like, I really wanted to work for Chris Constantino for a long time because
Yeah, he's
his
a
whole belief in whole animal butchery, this use of offal and odd bits. I came from a vegetarian family and a vegetarian grow up, so walking
that.
past the butcher counter as a kid was a whole beautiful foreign concept to me. So getting this opportunity to use the animal in its entirety after it's given up its life for us to eat is, the most holiest aspect I can think of how to respect this animal.
Were you taking butchery classes or charcuterie?
I got a 2-week crash course of butchery in culinary school and a 2-week crash course of charcuterie and garmanger in culinary school, but a lot of it was my own outside search for the knowledge. Like, I tried to do my externship at Fatted Calf in Napa, same with the Notary as well. It petered out for me for a little while, so I was working in restaurants for about 4 years or so, and I found Electric City Butcher in Santa Ana,
Yeah, how did that? That's fantastic.
which is a whole animal butcher shop in Orange County, one of, I think, the only ones. I think there might be one or two that have popped up since then. But I found that place and, managed to get my toe in the door by going in as a customer and joking around with the owners, like, hey, do you have a job for me? Like, I work in the industry. I'm happy to, stage and do these grunt hours. And I managed to secure a stage. Went back a couple more times. I think I staged like 3 or 4 times total. And every time I'd go back, I would just bug Mike and send him a message every once in a while. Hey, you got a job for me. Hey, you got a job for me. Until finally, I went in one day and he's like, hey, I got a job for you.
Nice.
At that time as well, I was working at a restaurant and I was like, well, shit, I have a job opportunity here. I want to stay respectful. So it's been funny enough that every time I've found a new job, I've been at a current job and it's been like, hey, I have another opportunity waiting for me. Like, I got to put in my 2 weeks. Like, here's my 2 weeks with you. And then somehow that 2 weeks usually ends up getting squeaked out to a third week or something like that, just
Yeah.
because of short staffing. But yeah, I was very lucky enough to find a place willing to teach me and have the patience.
Was that pre-pandemic?
That was pre-pandemic, yeah. So I had been butchering since about, I want to say 2017 is when I started.
Oh, okay.
2017, 18 is when I started. And I worked at Electric City Butcher until about 3 or 4 months into the start of the pandemic, and we all got furloughed, and the owners took
Gotcha.
over the shop in running the shop. And I had a buddy who worked at another local butcher shop that was close to me, and it was someone I had worked with before at Electric City, and he needed help, and he reached out to me and asked for help, and I managed to grab a spot immediately.
For people that might not know, when you're going to say the butcher like a Kroger or Ralph's or a Vaughn, they're getting chunks in and then they to break that down. So you are getting at Electric City whole animal.
So at Electric City, we'd be getting in 2 cows every 2 weeks and 4 pigs every 2 weeks. And then we'd get in a couple boxed items because, everybody wants a ribeye, everybody wants a T-bone, everybody wants a porterhouse or something like
That makes
that.
sense too.
There's certain cuts that, aren't feasible to, only bring in a whole animal if and supply a neighborhood with.
Yeah.
So we would get in those whole animals and break them down from there and supply our entire case and make all our sausages out of all our trim, everything got a use.
Such
We
great knowledge.
used to have to weigh out our trim every day for like what was getting thrown out, because I think there's some subsidy that if you're only throwing out X amount from a whole animal butchery program, like you don't have to pay certain fees or anything. So they were very strict on like what got used, what got thrown out. If something was normally getting close to going bad or something like that, which was lucky because as a whole animal shop, you only have like three or four muscles at a time that are going through. Like it's not like you're sitting on 20 cases of flat iron or anything like
Sure.
that. It would go to us. Like if things were starting to go a little bad, not like go bad as in like this isn't
But turn the
sellable,
corner where you're
but to the
not,
point where it's
yeah.
not case presentable or
Yeah.
anything like that, we were lucky enough that it would get sent home with us. So we were exposed to really high levels of,
Oh, that's
whole
what an
animal,
experience.
grass-fed, pasture-raised animals that lived a nicer life than most people get a chance to live.
That's true. Well, and also too, it gives you that understanding of every part of the animal and where things come from. I don't think people can conceptualize that, even if they're really into it and they're buying steaks all the time or buying meat all the time. They probably don't know, and that's great knowledge to have. So then when the pandemic hit, you went to a smaller butcher shop.
So when the pandemic hit, I went to a smaller butcher. Smaller is very, because
Loosely,
electric, yeah, it's very loose because Electric City is a pretty small
yeah, that's
shop
true.
for us
Yeah,
anyway. But I went to a smaller shop and was helping out my buddy there. And, I was having a good time, but at the same time, I just felt like I was kind of coasting and I was not challenging myself. And I was scrolling on Instagram and I had been following Heritage for a little while at that point, because one of my buddies at Electric City had gone to Heritage, one of the pop-ups or the early on pop-ups, and brought us all barbecue.
Nice.
So I had been following them for a minute and I just saw randomly that they had posted that they needed a butcher. And I was like, what are the odds of
Yeah,
this?
what are the
Like,
odds?
what are the odds that I'm able to, hold myself in the fire again? And like, because I had been butchering in a retail shop for 3, 4 years at that point. So like, it's am I able to stand in the fire and continue working in a restaurant? And strangely enough, one of my guests at Electric City was the PR for Heritage.
Okay.
So I reached out to them and I was like, hey, I want to throw my hat in the ring. Do you think it's a good idea?
Was this Jill at the time?
This was Jill, yeah.
Okay.
So me and almost immediately I got a response from Jill, like, yes, like here's Danny's number. I'm giving him your number. He's calling you. And I talked to Danny that same day, pretty much. Talked to him on the phone. I hadn't even met the guy yet. Like this was just a phone conversation with him. And I had a good gut feeling about it. I was like, this seems like the right move. Like this is going to be a way to challenge yourself. This is going to be a way to, continue to work on building your name and your notoriety as well.
He
And
said,
check
challenge yourself
it was a
creatively.
whole new aspect for me. I had never cut a brisket before working for Danny. Like cutting a brisket for me was taking it off the cow and leaving it as the whole muscle for someone to pick up and take home and then do what they will. And so it was a new learning opportunity for me. And so I had to, after getting off the phone, go to my buddy and the manager who had so graciously hired me on the fly and be like, hey, I have a stage tomorrow for a restaurant opening next week. So I'm not going to be able to be here tomorrow and I might not be here from this point on. And they were very gracious and very understanding. And they're like,
Sounds
of
like you've
course.
had a nice little journey because it's not always like that.
I've been very lucky in my journey through restaurants and food that, I have not had that person who just reacts and just gets
Yeah.
volatile.
But also too, I think that a lot of times what you give off comes back, and the way that you present yourself, at least that the little bit time that I've known you, DMing you as well as this, it's like it's I think that they the calmness, the way that you react to them and the way that you speak with them and the honesty that you've given them comes back. I think it's there's
Yeah,
people that you
and
could tell they're are sketchy and doing things on the side, and then they all of a sudden they're just gone, and that's not you. So
yeah, and you know, and I think we've all seen that person working in restaurants long enough where you see someone,
hundreds of
you're like, you've got maybe 2 weeks or a month in you at most before you no call, no show, and I never see you again.
Yeah, exactly. It's a the restaurant business is the only business I've ever worked at, because I've managed some restaurants, is that people just don't show up, or people like there's an interview after interview, no one shows up. Just a
Yeah.
weird, it's just an odd, it's a different animal
It's
completely.
very, it's, you know, it's the Ron Swanson capitalism quote. It shows those who can't, those who can succeed and those who fail.
Yeah.
It's very, it's like I said, it's very polarizing. It's just
And Ron
either you
Swanson would be
can't,
a very big
or
fan of
cannot.
you.
Yeah.
He would
You
love
know,
everything you
you just made my day by saying
do.
that. The thought that Ron Swanson could look at me and give a little smile.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like a little smile. He would have let you know
A little
100%
smile and a nod,
that.
and I know I'd be a happy Pawnee citizen.
Yeah, then he could take whatever you've dropped off, he'll hide, and it's
Exactly.
above him. So then, how was that first day with Heritage? Because you've never been working, and I know that, you know, we I could put links below to all my talks with Danny. I think I've talked to him 4 or 5 times,
Yeah.
but his he has the restaurant mentality, and he is a chef, and he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that first day was wild for me just because it was more getting a grip of what the numbers were going to be. And our numbers then are nothing like they were are now. So like if you threw me 2 years ago into what I'm doing now, I'd be completely frazzled and overwhelmed, but like then it was a nice challenge, you know. I was there for a good 9 to 10 hours butchering, getting everything seasoned, cut, doing all the sausage work and everything like that for opening day and the following day because they knew I wasn't going to be there. And yeah,
And it was during the pandemic, so I think people were kind of
it was during the
weird.
pandemic and it was like a Monday of prep or something like that. So I think it was myself and Chef Nick and I think Eric and Danny were the only four. I know I didn't meet Eric until my first day there. Like it was just Danny and Nick there while they're trying to figure everything out and I'm cutting. So like I have to pull Danny away from phone calls and be like, "Hey, can you show me how you want this brisket done and everything?" While he's frazzled and trying to open up a restaurant. It's
In the middle of the pandemic,
yeah, in the
yeah,
middle of a pandemic.
yeah. So
I'm still amazed. You know, I'm not
it still
amazed. It's
amazes.
it blows my mind that like we were able to open up a restaurant in the middle of a pandemic that was shutting down so many restaurants.
Yeah, and the fact, and the fact that there were that many people that were that eager
And
to.
our support was amazing. Like that first day of service, I wasn't like I remember watching the
Yeah, same
live
thing.
Instagram feed of it and just being shocked and just like pulling my buddy aside and being like, "This is what I fucking signed up for. What did I do?"
Well, then you're starting to probably understand what the beast was
Oh
too, because
yeah. Like I had known that they were popular just based off of, you know, their Instagram following and stuff like that. Like I think at that time Danny was at like 40K or something like that. So I was like, "Oh, well, I'm signing up for something that has a big following." But then to see that following actually show up as well as a whole different ball
yeah,
game.
you can't just rest on that following. You have to, you know, they have to come out. And so
Yeah.
that's it's nice. It was nice to see that support, and that with the people, like, it was just, I remember the line trailing so far, people had umbrellas because it was
Oh
really
yeah,
sunny. And
everyone was set up for like a proper wait at Heritage.
I think it was a couple, I think people waiting 2, 3 hours just because it was the
Yeah.
first time. It was the first day,
Yeah,
and it,
while we were still figuring out service and
yeah.
everything. And you know, it was crazy, it was madness, it was funny, like 'cause you'd hear people yelling about, Oh, I've been waiting here for 3 hours. It's like, yes, so have the 50 people behind you. And
And all the people in front of you.
we're all waiting here. Like,
Yeah, I know. It's Orange County too. It's and Los Angeles and the Southern California is not 100% used to waiting anything maybe longer than
no, not
Cal
at
and Ray's,
all.
maybe like for an hour and a half, I think was sometimes
Yeah,
people would be that.
barbecue culture is not something that is very accessible to Southern California most of the time. So people waiting an hour and a half, 2 to 3 hour line, they're not used to it at all.
And it's a testament to what you guys pulled off in San Juan Capistrano. Like it's really, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Well, so then what did he bring you on specifically to trim brisket and to, well, to trim meat and then use those trimmings for sausage, or was like a sausage program, that was obvious in the back of his mind he wanted to have.
Yeah. So the sausage program was always going to be there. Like, that was one of the questions he asked me. Like, it was one of three questions Danny asked me for, like, my actual interview with him, aside from my stage. It was like, have you worked in restaurants? Do you know how to render tallow? And can you make sausage? Were like the three questions he asked me. And all three of them were a yes. So he's like, you're the guy. So I was well aware that like the sausage program was always going to come from trim. But then when I actually started to execute it and everything, it kind of blew my mind, the fact that I was, able to make these 40 plus pound batches of sausage with, just trim.
Yeah.
And it's, it was cool. And I had come from Electric City, where trim was how we made our sausage, but we would also supplement in a few cuts in every now here and there,
Which makes
like,
sense.
because a pig is only going to get you so far. It was a wild thought to, create something out of nothing,
Yes.
and to have it as something that's on the menu, that's consistently there, is something that
I
it's
think
a cool
that's
feeling. Yeah.
it's a great thing, and the creativity. And we'll get to. And I made a list of, I don't know, maybe 10 that I want to talk about. But there's probably more that you can talk about. There's a lot more. What sausages were you making at the beginning? Were there only two, or was there just
No,
one?
I think, let's see. At the beginning, I was doing relatively simple sausages, but I was still doing, I think for the first 4 or 5 months or something like that, I was doing a daily sausage. So every day the sausage would change.
Wow.
And then we increased our numbers. Oh no, when we first started, I was doing a pork and a beef sausage. So I was doing two sausages every day, that were a different variety. And they'd be different ones every week. And then we increased our numbers for a while. And I started getting bogged down with cutting everything, season everything, and then doing all my sausage work and everything. So I talked to Danny. He's like, yeah, don't kill yourself. So I moved it to a blend sausage, or no, it'd be, yeah, a blend sausage throughout the entire week. And then I was at, weekly sausages, where I would do one for Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because those are our busier days, I'd switch it up. Now I'm back to daily sausages, where it's a blend sausage that changes every day. And I'll post the sausage list normally on Monday on my Instagram, if I can remember to, just so everyone in the restaurant and anybody who has interest in a specific one can come on their specific day.
It's out front. Are you taking a photo of the board or something, or is that?
No, so that's my little whiteboard that's
Oh, that's
next.
oh yeah,
Yeah,
that is
that's
okay.
my own personal whiteboard that's next to my cutting station. So on there I have my sausage list, whatever I need to order, my meat weights and everything like that. That's just my little notepad that I keep next to my station
Okay.
that I can constantly update if need to be.
Okay.
'Cause
I'll put a link to that below, because I think that's fun. I've been following along, especially since we were doing this, and I thought, well, that's so, and it's to have that ability to try all these different sausages is such like people can come back every single day and try something different, which is huge.
The sausages themselves also change little by little. Like, I tweak them as I see fit, as I do more research and reading off other people, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll throw this into the sausage and try that. Oh, this worked a little better. You know, there was too much of this in last time, so let's scale back by 5 grams and we'll see how this works this time. So it constantly changes, and I try to get it better every time.
Well, yeah. How long is your process from start to actually being able to serve them? How many days? Because I was talking to Tyler Hodge, and he was saying it was about for him, a 4 day process.
So let's see. I do sausage on Monday. That'll air dry overnight on Monday, cold smoke and shock on Tuesday, and then dry out Tuesday night a little longer, and then hot smoke on Wednesday for service. So it's a 3 day process for us.
Wow. Okay. I want people to know that. And I'm going to be taking like little, I'm going to clip down that some of these things because I think people should, like, they're coming to get sausages. They don't realize
Oh
that
yeah.
it's a process.
It is. And I went from fresh sausage, clipping it in the case and just putting out fresh sausage to this whole process that's completely different to what I'm used to. And it blew my mind a bit as to how much goes into this just for that end game of a single sausage that's sliced into 12 pieces and put on your platter.
So how did you learn that process? Was that through Danny or was that through research online
That
or?
was from or from the smoking of sausage or
Yeah,
actual sausage
the
made.
barbecue station.
That was all from Danny. Like
Okay.
when I first started at Electrics or at Heritage, I would go in on my days off and on Saturdays normally, at least for 3 or 4 hours, and hang out with the pit crew and work the fires. Very little. It was more just I had time on Saturday. I woke up, I'd go shoot the shit with everybody and hang out. And, you know, I would have them kind of explain what was going on to me and talk me through it. They kind of taught me how to feed fires and everything. And that's what I'd do. I'd go hang out, I'd feed the fires, I'd watch everything smoke and start to kind of learn my temperatures and everything. But even now, like as I'm at Heritage and I walk by, you know, you get the occasional guest who managed to pull me aside and go, "Oh, what are you smoking at?" And A, it's I'm there's still times in my head where I'm like, "Are we still doing it this way, or have we changed our methods?" And then B, it's I think I signed something where I'm not allowed to tell you about that. But yeah, it
But
was a very
it's not all temperature. It's not all, there's a lot of feel. It's different than
yeah,
the
it's.
backyard barbecue and people don't, necessarily know that.
Exactly. It's not it's done when it's done. It's not done when it's there for a certain amount of time. It's done when it's done.
With sausage wise, do you follow or connect with other sausage makers across the United States?
Yeah, I follow Tyler pretty closely. Let's see, sausage maker. I follow a lot of different sausage makers on Instagram and stuff like that. I'm very bad about talking to them and stuff like that. I more am a background lurker, and I kind of just scroll and I read a lot of things and kind of just pick from there and compile what I want to do.
Have you seen, is there a sausage that you've seen outside of, because this is a question I wanted to ask you, outside of Heritage that you want to try or that you thought,
Oh
okay.
yeah, like a lot of Tyler's stuff just looks so
Yeah. Oh,
amazing.
yeah. It's just ridiculous.
There are a couple people on Instagram as well who I follow. I'm so bad with names as well,
That's
so I feel
okay.
like I'm going to disrespect
Yeah,
a lot of
that's.
sausage makers and stuff. I don't want to do that, but like I'm not in any of those group chats or anything. I follow like the Modern Butcher Shop. I follow a lot of butcher shops, and that became mostly through Electric City, just following other shops to see what they were doing. And then I would find butchers who were doing sausage and stuff. Like there's Modernist Butcher Shop. Nathan the Butcher is one that I
I
follow.
have that on my list. Yeah, some people doing
Oh,
crazy stuff.
there's some really wild stuff. Like there was one that I saw, it was the street corn one, and I saw that and immediately it's like that's fucking brilliant. You know, so there are some of those that I've seen online and immediately I've been like, all right, well I have to emulate that. Like there's the street corn one that I do now, the chorizo con papa, and that one was more just like, what else can I do with chorizo? Because there was one day where I was running chorizo. I was like, I want to change up chorizo. Let's do chorizo con queso. And I was like, that's an easy one. I had a 5 pound block of Oaxaca in the walk-in. Like, that's an easy one for me. And I thought, like, how can I change up chorizo a bit more? And chorizo con papas is fucking classic. So
Yeah.
why not figure out how to stuff it all into a casing?
It's so weird when I talked to Tyler, I didn't even think too much about the fact that potato works in a sausage. It
Oh,
doesn't
yeah.
sound like it does, but it would.
There's one I saw that was from Modernist Butcher Shop, I think, and it was the French onion soup one that they did. And that one was amazing. That it was
Genius.
so cool. Like, it's such a simple concept as well. You know, season your meat very simply, flame off a bottle of cognac and caramelize a bunch of onions.
Yeah. And then have you served that? Have you had one that
I
one?
did. I did that one. That was a 2 day process, just the prep for that. I small diced and fried a bunch of croutons as well for it. So it would
Oh,
be
yeah.
studded with bread as you got it. So you get that, you know, that bit of the crostini that sits on top of the soup that
Yeah.
absorbs all the liquid.
It tastes so delicious. That's
Yeah.
fair.
So I did that. Like,
Oh.
Chef Nick and I did the whole conceptualizing of it. You know, I got a whole bag of yellow onion, shredded up the entire thing and caramelized it all on our flat top. We flamed off a bottle of brandy, fried croutons, and added in Gruyere, and came out amazing.
Do people appreciate that?
I've had sausages that do really well, like the French onion soup did really well, and then I've had ones that just do not. You know,
Guess that's the
it's
nature of
ye
them.
It is very much the nature of the beast. And then you have to take into account to like Orange County as well. People are not as adventurous as they'd like to think they are. You know, you get the foodie who go there and they're like, oh yeah, I'll have one of everything. But then, you know, people as well want a bratwurst or want to stick with the hot gut and don't want to try it. Like I think for Easter 1 year, we did a rabbit dish, and I spent a good amount of time deboning, rolling, and making bat nets out of whole rabbits. And a good amount of time went into it. And I think that whole day we sold maybe 8 plates of that dish, and I was so defeated. Like, and then like for our 1 year anniversary, Danny got me a whole pig and I turned the whole thing into charcuterie and did, you know, I made my own pickles. I did a terrine. I did pate. I did a sausage as well and did a whole charcuterie plate for it. And it just,
It didn't.
that was one of those days
That sounds so wonderful
where I
too.
walked away just going, I hate everybody. People suck. How are you not interested by a charcuterie plate? You
This is
know,
just ridiculous.
I was like, oh, my talents are wasted on these people. It was one of those days where I was like, this did not go as well as I was hoping it would.
Kicking all the boxes in the back and
Yeah, exactly,
throwing your
exactly.
apron in this trash
And you
and
know,
dirt.
I have everybody else in the kitchen coming up to me and going like, this is fucking great. But at the same time, I'm like, but it didn't sell. I have
And
all
that's
this
actually,
pate.
but that's a great lesson to learn, that it takes like that's to get to that next step for
It has to sell, yeah.
for the customer to be able to get to that. It's a leap, I guess, maybe
Yeah.
right now, and maybe it won't be that way 4 years from now, but
Yeah, and you know,
that's.
it was also our anniversary, so everybody's going in there looking for barbecue. And here you have a guy, you want rillette, you want charcuterie, you want head pate, like you want pate? It's like, maybe not the most approachable thing for people, but I
Well,
try.
I appreciate that you did that. I think that was the most, no, that's also you're testing your abilities, and
Yeah.
it was, yeah, I guess that's the moment, the Zen moment, where you have to like appreciate what you got out of it and what the rest of the team got out of it, as opposed to, but it's also, it
Yeah.
is a business.
No, of course. And you know, it's like right now where we are butchery wise at Heritage is I'm doing all of it for San Juan and
Gonna ask, that was my next kind of
yeah.
question. How is that working?
It's working. It is the direct answer to it. It's working. But you know, it's still a lot. Like at the height of what we were doing before this new restaurant opened, I think our total was 170 briskets, including pastrami briskets. And now I think I'm at 220 or something like that. So, you know, it's
That's
not a major
a
jump, but it's enough of a jump that I feel it.
Yeah, that's 20-30% more.
Yeah.
That's definitely yeah. And so this is per week you're saying, right?
Per week, yes.
So now what dates? So you guys are open. Are you guys still open at San Juan Wednesday through
Yeah,
Sunday?
both our schedules for Oceanside and San Juan are both Wednesday through Sundays.
Okay.
So everybody gets off Monday and Tuesday, and I'm at the restaurant Monday through Friday doing all the butchery there.
Are you going down to Oceanside at all?
I've been to Oceanside once or twice, but my daughter lives out in that area, so I make the drive out there once a week, but that's enough of a drive for me instead of going down there daily. Luckily for me, the San Juan Capistrano is a 5 to 10 minute drive from my house right now, so
That's awesome.
I'm living pretty right now.
Yeah, there's not many humans live
Yeah, I don't have that bad of a
that
commute.
way. Oh, especially in Orange County, like there's places
Yeah.
that could take
Yeah,
just
I can street drive to work, which I am very lucky to do.
that's awesome. And your hours are kind of funky too, so it's
Yeah, they're a little funky, but they're consistent for the most part. You know, I have the odd day where a delivery shows late and that pushes me back an hour or so, but for the most part, you know, my hours are very consistent there.
Are people buying? Because I think I saw online. I was looking at the online. You can order 5 packs of sausage if you get the if you're doing the online ordering, right? But it's when you could order individual links when you're at the restaurant,
Yeah, so you can order individual links. I think
right? To go is 5 or so. I don't know.
I think the 5 pack is during like holiday specials and
Oh, is
stuff.
that what it is? Okay.
So I think it's like during Thanksgiving, Super Bowl, Christmas and stuff like that when we do like our big weekend blowout platters to go and stuff like that, where it's like, you know, buy a whole brisket, get the 16-ounce sides and everything like that. I think one of those options is a 5 pack of sausage. Aside from that, I think you can just do individuals
Okay,
online.
perhaps I was looking at this. It was late last night, so I was just looking
Yeah.
and I saw a 5 pack. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like for me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I want to definitely get that. Now, so is it only one sausage a day? Not only, I hate to say like only, but it's a, is it let me rephrase that. Is it just so it's one sausage a day, a different sausage every day?
It's one sausage a day every day. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's all a different sausage.
That's really cool. And they can see, generally, they could see either your Instagram, and I'll put all that information below, either your Instagram or I think Heritage is good at
The
putting it. Yeah.
Heritage is usually the Heritage Instagram is usually really good about
Yeah, I think
reposting
so.
that one so
Yeah.
that everyone can get a look. And then they've also been really good about re-editing it and putting up like a nice digital version of it instead of my handwriting on a dirty whiteboard. So normally they'll post the electronic one on their daily stories on Tuesday or something like that before we start service.
Yeah, it's not like it's just because I'm interested, but I don't know if every single person totally
Yeah.
interested. Someone's going to come and get whatever is there. But if you're curious to know
Yeah.
ahead of time, it's which is fun. Like that's and a lot of people that'll be watching this will be sausage. Is that called a sausage head? I don't know. Sausage lovers. Like that's even a
Yeah,
different
sausage fans.
fans of sausage, which could mean a lot of things. But it's
Yeah.
are you shipping sausage down to Oceanside?
No, we're not doing
Not yet, right?
no, not that I'm aware of. So right now, as far as I know, we are not doing like slice platters at Oceanside. It's rumored that we might be doing them on weekends and stuff like that.
Yeah, Danny had mentioned he might do that too, yeah.
Yeah, but for the time being, we're not doing any like slice stuff. So it's just tri-tips, just tri-tips, pork shoulders, and briskets go to Oceanside.
Gotcha. And first sandwiches and salads and
Yeah,
a
yeah.
mix of things. Yeah, and tacos and yeah, so it's but then I think I was thinking that eventually maybe they might have like sausage sandwiches or sausage platters. At or charcuterie and sausage at the bar would be cool, but I'm sure
Yeah.
that I'm not the only one thinking about
So
it.
the current plan, at least what I've talked to Danny with and everything as well, is When we get a little more established and we have our smokehouse built with our cut room and everything, ideally we'll have like two other underling butchers for me to like teach and have under my command to do some of this bigger production stuff so that I can concentrate on smaller projects so that like yeah, I can send charcuterie out to Oceanside so that Eric can run a charcuterie platter if he wants to. Or, do like a special sausage so Oceanside can run a dirty dog or something like that. So I can concentrate on the finer projects and stuff like that instead of having to deal with 50 plus briskets.
It's fascinating to watch you grow. And I know that Danny had mentioned like you guys are doing some changes at San Juan Capistrano. Is that smokehouse? How far off is that smokehouse?
It changes, but rumor is that construction is supposed to start in November. That was the last rumor I heard, but that might change. So as of right now, I believe it might be this year that we start our construction.
Wow, that's cool. That'll be exciting. And in the meantime, you're gonna be a very busy guy. But that will be cool to have charcuterie, to have there's countless things that you can do. And then also like eventually I'm sure they would want to do grab and go stuff, and like you could package sausage. There's a lot of there's so many things that you could do down the line.
Like I've talked to Danny. I used to talk I would talk to him when he was just at San Juan and be like, Danny, when we get big enough, we're gonna be able to run a small little butcher shop out of this cut room and and we'll start doing whole pig cooks and stuff like that. So, I've brought up like these I've brought up to him and he's brought them up to me where he's like, like I want to do like a pit cooked cow chuck, like where it's that whole forequarter of a cow that's put into the ground and smoked and cooked for 14, 20 hours or something like that. So it's all stuff that we've talked about that's on the horizon.
And you've done a lot of creative things, especially into with the anniversary stuff.
And I've been very lucky enough as well, even through Electric City and through my cooking career, that I've had the opportunity to do some of these things. Like, I've been able to do whole lamb Asador dinners and stuff like that. Pit cooking is not a totally foreign concept for me where I don't know what the hell is going on. Like a lot, some of the stuff that Danny's talked about is all very approachable as well.
Can you speak to the menu at Heritage a little bit too? Because it's not just your standard Central Texas style barbecue. What are things that stand out on the menu that you really like?
Well, our menu is really a lot recently has been changing a lot more. We have our new executive sous chef Morgan in there. He and Chef Nick work together quite well to, constantly throw out something new. Morgan has been playing a lot with vegetables and smoke, so he's been doing a lot of, different vegetarian dishes.
Wow, that's smart.
Chef Nick and I really fall back on a lot of Asian cuisine as like our comfort foods and stuff like that. So we back and forth with those. During the summer, we do our brisket musubi, which sells beautifully every time and it just bogs down the line. We have noodle dishes that we do every once in a while. Morgan has, before he came to us, had a really deep pasta background. So every once in a while, he'll do fresh pasta as well.
So smart.
So it's not just like, your typical Texas fare where you get your mac and cheese, your potato salad, your beans,
Brisket,
and
ribs, and
everything, like
sausage, and that's
brisket,
it.
ribs, and
It's
sausage. Yeah. There are, standalone dishes. Chef Eric has done the Capistrano dip, which is his take on a Philly cheesesteak, and he uses his birria recipe, and you dip it in the birria consommé, and it's got a skirt of Oaxaca cheese on it, and it's one of my favorite things that we have
ridiculous.
there. Yeah, it's a constantly changing menu. Like there's no there's things that reappear for sure, but at no point do we like go, okay, well these 12 dishes has worked, so that's all we're going to keep on the menu. So we not only do is our menu constantly shifting, we also will switch it seasonally as well. So as produce comes in and out of season, it's all right, it's tomatoes aren't viable for us right now. What fall produce is looking good right now that we can do? Like squashes are coming in. We can do a squash fall salad with, seared cabbage and stuff like that. So it's it's constantly evolving, and there's always something new on there if it's a daily special or one of our constants on the menu.
That's so great. How cool is it to be part of this? This is so.
It's great. And the fact that they even listen to me is a whole nother thing. Like
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the butcher. I'm in my own little world in the corner of the restaurant. Like I don't deal with front of the house. I talk it's between me, Chef Nick, Danny, Chef Eric, and Chef Morgan. And the four of us are pretty much what they say. And the smokers, obviously. I talk with the smokers a lot because I have to communicate with them. But it's always something, and the fact that they listen to me and my input goes into what goes out is I'm so grateful because they could write me off. They're like, you could totally, they could totally have just said, you're the butcher, this is your little realm,
Yeah, stay
but
in your lane and don't, yeah.
exactly. But they recognize that I have restaurant experience and are willing to listen to that and think about it, which
Wow.
is more than I can ask for.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And what is there something about Danny that people don't know? Like, is there, can you talk to Danny and Brenda a little bit? Just so people, because people see them, people that people might
Yeah.
not, yeah, I don't know. It'd
Danny
be.
and Brenda are the nicest fucking people that I can in this industry. Like the fact that they took a chance on me, a butcher who reached out to them over social media, and it could have gone so south so quickly, but they put their trust in me and are so accommodating. Both of them on multiple occasions not only are just like, oh, how are the meats, that they're very interested in how our lives are going. They're very invested in us. There's the whole, oh, it's a red flag if a restaurant owner manager says like we're a family, but it's very much like we are a family in this re I at Heritage. It's these are the people I spend a majority of my time with. I see them all the time. They know me better than, some of my best friends know me. Like they see me more than others do, and they're very accommodating. I feel very lucky to have found a restaurant that's willing to see my capabilities and trust this whole it's all their fucking protein. There's no ifs, ands, or
Yeah,
buts
you're
around
that
it.
guy.
Like if I fail to meet expectations, it reflects immediately on our restaurant. That's what we're known for. We're known for briskets and protein and stuff like that. Our menu's great and everything like that, but people are coming for brisket and stuff. So to see the fact that they trust me and the smokers
Yeah.
with this is speaks volumes to them.
And while they do other things too, like they've got their hands in a lot of different things, and they have like it's just they're busy people,
Of course.
and to have that trust in you and the team, that's a big deal. And it's also a testament to how it trickles down from them, because it can I've worked in a lot of businesses where it trickles down very poorly, and then the employees don't give a shit, and then it's just,
Yeah, and you can tell, and it's very apparent as well when you walk through the kitchen that we all care about what's
Yeah,
going on as well.
that's really cool. Is there anything that people don't know about Heritage or you that you want to touch on? I had a list of sausages, but I'm just going to put photos, and I'll
Oh yeah.
create a like a blog post with photos and things, because I think that would maybe the pictures would say a lot
Bit a
more. Because
little
there's,
easier than
yeah,
just talking about it.
because I could just say, I could say like Blueberry Maple Lake, but it's like people probably know what that would mean, and it's
Yeah.
just they're gorgeous on a day. Do you guys generally sell out of sausage if you are later? I guess it's later in the day. There's potential that could happen.
Sometimes we have leftover sausage, and when we do have leftover sausage, it's maybe like 15, 20 links or something like that. And luckily Chef Morgan and Chef Nick are adaptable enough, like it'll get ground up and sauteed and it gets put into our sausage mac, or it gets split in half and we do like a dirty dog or a sausage po' boy or something like that. Like our kitchen is very adaptable and able to
Yeah,
think on their
sausage.
feet to, put something out that's able to sell whatever is left over.
That is awesome. Well, Lennon, thank you so much for, taking the time, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I hope that people do, because it's not easy. It's a craft, and like it's truly a craft, and it's also butchery. I'm fascinated by that, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk about so many different aspects of it. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was
Definitely.
wonderful to be on here and talk with you.